Welcome back. 516, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Monday afternoon, Inauguration Day 2013, I'm joined by Washington Times White House reporter Dave Boyer. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Busy day for you. I know that you have been covering the president throughout the day and his speech, which, quite frankly, sounded a lot like a campaign speech to me. But, hey, that's just me.
No, it's not just you. A lot of people felt that way, that he, you know, President Obama really was kind of congratulating himself on what he had done in his first term so far and laying out a second term of agenda that was, even though he didn't put it in terms of us versus them, Democrats versus Republicans, it was a pretty partisan inauguration speech.
Yeah, and he touched on, I mean, a wide array of topics, everything from gay rights to climate change to the debt. I mean, you name it. He kind of, you know, everything was in there.
Yeah, you could add gun control to that.
Yeah.
You know, preserving entitlement programs.
Immigration, you know,
It was immigration, right. It was a hot-button list of topics there.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, I was reading one of your stories called Second Time No Charm for Presidents, History Shows. And it occurred to me the wreckage of presidential second terms probably looks sort of like the road to Kuwait during the Gulf War, you know, just broken stuff all over the place.
Smoking wreckage.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that was the thought that your story conjured up, because you kind of went into a little bit of detail about past presidents. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just in our lifetimes, you know, Richard Nixon obviously got quit in his second term rather than be impeached. Bill Clinton was impeached, you know, for lying about sex with an intern. George W. Bush, after a pretty successful first term, had a pretty bad second term. He had his failed response to Hurricane Katrina. He had the start of the very deep recession. You know, the war in Iraq became more and more unpopular. Even Ronald Reagan, who really got, you know, not enough credit for, you know, his efforts to dismantle the Soviet Union, which, you know, most of that took place in the presidency of George H.W. Bush after Reagan left office, but Ronald Reagan was really the one who got it, the ball rolling and saw some of the success for that. Even Ronald Reagan had the Iran-Contra affair in his second term. So just in the last 50 years, there's quite a few really bad second presidential terms.
Mm-hmm. Obama starts his second term. The debt is $16.5 trillion. We had mentioned he's got to deal with gun control, immigration, and on top of that, he's got what, you know, honestly, a lousy relationship with John Boehner and company, really, you know?
Right. Right, and one of the authors, Al Zeker, wrote a very interesting book about failed second terms of presidents, said when I interviewed him that, you know, the few presidents who have had successful second terms, he mentioned Dwight Eisenhower had a pretty good second term, they worked with really strong congressional leaders who they got along with. You know, Ronald Reagan had Tip O'Neill, and then Dwight Eisenhower, in his case, had Lyndon Johnson as the Senate Majority Leader.
Hmm. The president,
and here you have Barack Obama and John Boehner, who, you know, are oil and water, really.
Yeah, no kidding. The president claims he is aware of the second term overreach by some presidents. Huh, that's interesting that he would actually, you know, fess up to that.
It is interesting. You know, he says he's aware of it, but what we've seen coming out of his mouth so far and in the actions he's taking, it looks like he's trying to run roughshod over Congress in his second term. So I don't see where he's so far realized the need to compromise with them. It looks like, you know, right now he's trying to take up a Republican Party that he thinks is in shambles and in disarray and, you know, and just and try and get as much done as he can in the next year or so.
Is he trying to create a legacy or to protect one?
I think he's still trying to create one. You know, he's talking about a lot of social programs that he wants to protect and you know, all these initiatives that we've been talking about. I think he's still going whole hog, and he's got campaign machinery, you know, to help him out in that regard that hasn't really gone away.
Yeah. New cabinet members, others in high-level positions. Is that a positive or a negative effect for second terms? Any idea?
Well, I think the general consensus is it's a negative because, you know, you had your first choices in your first term, and now you're kind of dealing with the B team. You know, you're picking sort of who's left among the prominent Democrats to fill in, you know, for Secretary of State, for Defense, for Treasury, and hoping that you can keep the continuity going from your first term team. And I don't think there's usually as much success and as much dynamism in a second term cabinet as there was, it was in a first term, no matter who the president is.
Mm-hmm. The old Obama campaign, I know you made mention of this, it has become a new political machine. And already, Ann Wogue, because she's on the list, she received a request for her to check out the new political machine. And I'm assuming that if indeed she goes to that website, she'll probably be asked for money.
You know, there is I went when they had a email from Jim Messina, who was the president's campaign manager, about a week ago after the gun control package was rolled out by the White House. The old Obama campaign people sent out this email saying, you know, here's the details of the president's plan. Go to this link on the website, check it out, and learn more about gun control and stand with the president. And there was a donation button on the top of the screen, and just out of curiosity, I clicked on it, and nothing happened. I don't know if they won't accept my money if there's just no place to send money right now set up. I don't know what they would be doing with it, you know, as far as, you know, there's talk about using leftover inauguration committee money maybe to start building a presidential library someday, but I don't know how that would work in this case. I don't see them actively collecting money at this point for a grassroots effort.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, today I can assume that you weren't invited to the fancy lunch, and I was talking to Stephen Dine a little while ago, and he said that it had to be at least 3,000 calories, so you missed out you missed out on a good one, I guess.
Lobster and bison, huh? Sounds really yummy.
Man, no kidding. And so my next question would be, tonight is a night of celebration for the Obamas, and they'll be making the rounds, and I'm sure you've been invited to a lot of these soirees, or no?
Actually, no. My Xbox is in the closet. It's going to remain. My partner, Susan Crabtree, who also covers the White House, is going to be attending the big inaugural ball at the convention center and reporting on it. So I don't know what she's wearing, and I hope to see some of her reports shortly.
Okay. All right. The schedule for the rest of the week, we have anything on that, or is this just kind of a welcome back to Washington, you're the president again, do what you want to do?
Yeah, I think the schedule for this week involves, you know, some Alka-Seltzer, and there's nothing yet very much on the agenda. Obviously, we have Secretary of State Hillary Clinton going to the Hill to testify about Libya soon. Is that Wednesday? I'm in the shuffle of all the news today. I've forgotten whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, 20. I thought they said. You know what? I thought they said 25th, but they could have moved it to the 23rd, which indeed would be Wednesday. So anyway,
up this week.
Yeah.
So that's going to make a lot of news. And other than that, no, I don't know. See what else is on the horizon yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was watching, and I had mentioned this earlier. I was watching the parade, and it's still going on at this hour, and it's practically dark now. And,
right.
You know, and I don't know how they do that, but the president, I just saw him a moment ago, he was giving someone a standing ovation, and I was somewhat surprised to see the rest of the crowd within the reviewing booth still sitting as the president stood. But the other funny part was, and this, I guess is significant in this day and age, a little while ago, Fox News had a shot of the president and his family sitting in the front row of the reviewing booth, and three of the four were texting. And the only one who was actually looking out the window into the street to see the parade was Michelle Obama. The president and the two girls were going to town.
Well, the president, I don't know if you heard, he tweeted from the church service this morning. He was
that's
in
right.
John's church across Lafayette Park from the White House for the traditional inaugural day church service, and he tweeted a little message out on his Twitter account while he was there. So, I'm grateful to have a chance to finish what we started. Let's go.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for the update today, and enjoy your night away from all of the activity, because you'll be thrown back into the pit sometime later this week, I'm sure.
Thanks, Andy.
See you later, Dave. Dave Boyer, Washington Times White House reporter, 526, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.